Hello, this is Pearland Podcast. Today I'm in London again. I'm sitting here with Romy. It's the first time I ever have a numerologist in my channel. So Romy, can you give the audience a brief about yourself?
So about me, I work with numbers. I also work with words, I work with energy, and I use it to harness the best outcomes in any given situation, whether it's myself or someone else. I use it to guide myself and others, and it's a very empowering tool. It's a resource that I use. It's a skill that I have, and I use it for the greatest good.
By the way, I'm addicted to Romy. I talk to her every week. Completely addicted to
it. It's a good addiction.
Yeah. Romy, how did you start? I mean, you know, when you're growing up, did you know what you want to do? I mean, being a numerologist must be by default, right?
So when I was little, all I wanted to be when I grew up was kind. I just wanted to better the world. That was my vision. I did not even know that numerology existed. I didn't even know that the skills that I had were unique to me. Being a child, you kind of look for a response in someone else as to who and what you are. And so when you say things and they're unusual, or how does she know that, you'll notice a response in someone else going, what? How do you know that? Because
since
it's not
when?
Logical.
Since
so I believe I had these gifts since I was born. So since birth, when I recognized that the gifts were different to others that were unique to me, that was about age 11 that I have distinct memories of saying things that were so, one would say outrageous, but for me it was just so normal because I can hear it, see it, feel it as if anyone else, to me it's unusual that others can't. At that point as a child, you don't know you're different. So you get information. So for example, if you could see something over there, you wouldn't think that I couldn't. You would just assume we all see because it's in the room. Mm. So the information I receive, I hear it as if I could hear your voice.
Wow.
So it's unique to me, but I also think it's something that could be harnessed in others because I think it's like an unveiling. You unveil information.
But okay. So you see you have a gift, but how did you actually start to become a numerologist? Because you have a gift, but then numbers, how do you start working with numbers?
So I started practicing it. So I don't follow probably the usual numerology that numerologists follow. I have adopted it to my own unique self. I was watching a TV show many, many years ago called Sensing Murder. And in it, it was in Australia, it featured a numerologist amongst other gifted people. So it also had a psychic medium and other people who were solving cold case murders.
Mm.
And when you watch that and you look at media, you think, oh, it's, you know, they've been given the information before, or you start to deny what is real. I was transfixed because what the numerologist was saying, I could see exactly where his thinking was going. And I started to think someone else sees the world through the same lens as me. I had to meet him. So I did end up meeting him, but it was not something he could teach me. It was just for me a validation that there is a technique that one can employ, one can use to structure what you know already. You can see and feel these things, but you need structure. You need to be able to direct it somewhere. You can't just have all these things floating around your head. You have to structure it and direct it somewhere. And so for me, observing him gave me a place to put the knowledge I had, to place it somewhere in the world. So all of a sudden I started to think, I can really guide and help people making better decisions. Not telling a future, because I actually think that's disempowering. Now, the reason I find that disempowering is if you tell someone the future as it is, no one can actually do that. You can tell them what the likely outcome is, given you're behaving exactly this way, thinking the same way, because the universe is moving. Everything's in flux. Everything, all the variables are changing. And there's only a godly force that's omnipresent that can know and see what the future is. People can't, but you can direct it to your greatest future. So if you use the future like the past, when we think of the past, it's not exact. If I ask you about your childhood and I ask someone, your mum, about your childhood, you're definitely going to, with your mum, you're going to get two different answers.
Of course.
So you look to the past as a pattern of how to direct the future, but you look to the future only as to how to better the present moment, how to make better decisions, to co-write, co-create the path you want. So it's not something you sit complacent relying on. It's something you create, co-create.
But even with the techniques of numerology, how do you learn it?
So practice. It's a pattern.
But how does you know that this number represents, that number represents?
So there's basic structures, basic that anybody can learn. But that could also disempower it. For example, I use dates of birth. So you add up a person's date of birth. It doesn't matter if it's the American way or the British way. You add it up, you reduce it to a single digit, and that will give you the life path number. But then there's always exceptions and buts, because there's mastery, which is the double digit. How do you know? So these are just techniques that you can be taught and you know. Then you can work out what cycle a person is in. So you add up the day number, the month number, you reduce it, you add it up to the year that they've passed. So if you've had a birthday in 2025, then you add it up to 2025. If you haven't yet, you add it up to 2024, reduce it to a single digit. And that will give you what cycle you're in. But this is where you need someone to guide you.
Yeah.
Because there's negatives and positive elements to a number. So it could be completely disempowering where you think, oh my goodness, I'm in this cycle. It's a really difficult cycle. It's a cycle of reversal of fortune. Oh, am I going to lose everything? But whatever there's bad, there's good. So this is where words come in, thinking comes in. And this is what amplifies the strengths of numerology. If you have a belief system that's negative, and there are negatives with the number, there's warnings, you're going to create that. If you have a belief system of positivity and optimism, if that's the outlook you have, then you'll co-create that.
I remember there was a book called The Secret.
Yes, The Secret.
They're saying that whatever you meant, and you know, whenever you manifest, it's in your brain, and you know, if it is negative, you actually manifest the reality. Positive and negative is all created in and inside us.
Absolutely. So it's not your circumstances that define your future. It's your outlook and your responses to that circumstances, because there's things that you can't change, things that are going to happen that are beyond your control, and there's things that you can. So your outlook is going to create the better version. So there's two paths you can possibly go on, more than two actually, but a negative one or a positive one. If I tell you, oh, Pearl, terrible month for you this month, you're going to write your month off. If I say, Pearl, look, there's a few challenges up this month. Let's see where the strength in numbers are, and let's see how we can redirect or refine or overcome those challenges with ease and grace. Now, do you know what the word pronoia means?
No.
Hardly anybody does. Ask anyone who knows what the word do you know what the word paranoia means?
Yeah, paranoia, yeah.
You're paranoid that something negative is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Pronoia is the complete opposite. Have you ever used that word?
No.
It's the belief that the universe, that everything around you is conspiring for your betterment, to give you the best outcome. Paranoia is the worst outcome. So we don't even employ that language in our thinking.
Because always we are talking about, if someone bad happened, doesn't mean that this is the worst, because some, you know, they always have something good in it.
You have to find the good. Yeah, so actually, when something bad does happen, I stop and go, thank you. I don't know yet what I'm thanking the universe for. I don't know yet. But there's a saying in Aramaic that translates to, even this is for the good. Even the, and you are duty bound to find the good in it.
Wow.
And not only find it, spread it. Spread it like confetti.
Can you give a very brief explanation?
Okay.
What is
a numerologist is somebody who uses a person's date of birth. For example, some people actually don't have dates of birth. So if you're asking me what happens if you don't have the correct date of birth. So if you're a migrant and your passport's got the wrong date of birth, you use the day number or the birthday that you celebrate or that you consider your date of birth.
Okay.
And what you do with that is there's certain formulae that you use to give you information about people, about their circumstances, about their past, their present, their future. Another thing that you can use with numerology, a numerologist uses numbers to make decisions because everything works in patterns. So you can see the most likely outcome following the patterns. And if you want to change a pattern, so for example, if the pattern's going down and down and you want to manipulate that, another word I'm going to throw in here. Do you know the word meliorism?
No.
Okay, so we need to employ all these words and adopt them to our vocabulary. Yeah, it should become the vernacular. Oh. Meliorism is our effort in improving things that are naturally progressing. So there's a natural flow. The world has a natural flow. The world's going to exist beyond you.
Exactly.
And it existed before you. But you're here in the now. You need to use your effort to make this world better. So from the word meilleur, we use the word meliorism. You are going to improve. Now, how do you do that? Because usually people are in a crisis. You're not going to be thinking straight about how do I better. You're not even thinking about the world. You're just thinking about yourself in this moment. So what you do is you detach yourself from you being your little you. You detach yourself, you elevate yourself, and all of a sudden you access this realm, this frequency. It's like putting on music that changes your mood. You start to manipulate it. You start to use the energy and the resources. Numerology will direct you to the strengths. What day am I on? I get people calling me all day. I'm having the worst day. What day am I on? And I'm like, it doesn't matter what day you're on. Each hour of the day, the number of the hour has the possibility for change because the universe is continuously in flux. Our hair is always growing. Our nails are growing. The world is changing. It's moving. It's orbiting. Oh, that's another thing. Mercury retrograde.
Yes.
Astrology and how it merges in with numerology.
Ah.
So everyone avoids Mercury retrograde.
Yes, everybody hates Mercury retrograde.
It's like, just tell me, everything's going wrong. It's a Mercury retrograde. And I think, no, probably not. Because if it was Mercury retrograde, things would be going right. Why? Because it's an unveiling of truths. Unveiling of truths. And that's what numerology does. It shows you truth.
So what is the difference between a numerologist and a psychic?
So psychic, I don't love that word.
Okay.
And the reason I don't call myself or even think of myself as a psychic is because...
But you do foretell things, right?
It's mostly accidental. I don't really want to... I use it for context. Yes, people can see the future, but a person can predict a future based on patterns anyway. I mean...
Patterns.
Actuary. You can use numbers, you can...
Yeah,
patterns.
Okay.
You can use numbers to predict futures. People do graphs. You can predict the future.
Statistics and all
but
that.
But to be a psychic is implying that you know the whole future. I can certainly see a given future. I can see possible outcomes, absolutely. People can. People have premonitions.
Yeah,
mothers can do it about their children. Twins do it with each other. Someone you spend a lot of time with, you would be able to... feel if something bad's happening. Most people know when someone's going to call. Or if you're thinking of a person and you're thinking of them and then they call and you're like, oh, I was just thinking of you. But you were actually directing that. You were willing them, inviting them into your space. You know, the producer of this podcast actually just said, oh, okay, that's the end of the podcast for the last filming. Yeah. And literally as if you heard him, I don't think you realized, you went, oh, okay, that's the end of the podcast. So there's an energy frequency that we all vibrate on. And if you're open and authentic and live your life in a way that's transparent, you will see more of the future.
When did you become a professional?
Professional.
Yeah, because you were not working as a professional.
No, I wasn't. I've had a whole lot of different paths from a dancer to a fashion retail store owner.
And you were just helping your friends reading numbers, right?
Yes, it was a party trick.
A party trick?
It was a party trick.
I love it.
Because it is kind of fun.
Yes, it is.
It's fun. It's knowing what potential is out there is exciting. It invites you to this world where possibilities are endless and then you can start to choose. It's a great party trick. But then I started to think, you know what, you can do some good with this. There's a lot of good in the world that you can do with this. So I started to do it on strangers. It's very easy to do with your friends because you know their thinking. You can manipulate their thinking into bettering their lives. A stranger, it's actually the easiest to do it on a stranger because truth always resonates. When you go into, if you ask a stranger for their date of birth, all of a sudden you know them intimately. So what happens is they open up. They completely open up. It's a trusting space.
Yeah, because you immediately tell him who he is.
And then he knows. Yeah. He's like, you know me better than people know. But you've touched on a very important point. Trust.
Yeah, trust.
You are duty bound to have an unbroken, this is where words come in, bond of trust. You have to work in a zone, in a space that is so sacred that no matter what, that person's words to you or the things that you know are for the betterment of that person and the world, not for your own ego, not for gossip. So that, to me, is probably the most important thing that a numerologist has to practice. The numerology is easy. It's natural.
Before you turn and become a professional numerologist. Have you ever seen by a numerologist?
I met the numerologist show and I watched him in his state of being a numerologist.
But did you allow him to read?
Absolutely.
About you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you were impressed?
Very impressed. And but then it was saying things that I already knew and could see and I understood the process. And for me, that invited me to do the same for others. And all you're doing is expanding their worlds, giving them more information, more understanding, more context, and more internal confidence and conviction to make the right decision for them. So you're basically just giving them information to make a decision in the moment that they might not have had because you're bringing future information into the present.
Okay. So you read my numbers, read other people's numbers. Can you read yourself?
Yes.
And you can understand and you know what is happening. You know the decision you made, which is a positive or negative.
Okay, so positive or negative is right. So it's, I seek the information, I seek the guidance, but sometimes the answer is no.
No.
If I want to direct something somewhere, and sometimes the answer is no, that person's not right for you, or no, that's not the right decision, or no, you shouldn't go there. And then you start negotiating. I have to stop myself negotiating with my charts because numbers never lie.
Yeah, you always say numbers.
Numbers never lie, people do. So I can lie to myself and justify, but if I do this and start trying to manipulate, no.
The answer's no. Let me ask you then are there any body in your family? Is your mother like this?
Yes.
Your mother's like this?
Absolutely.
But is your mother a numerologist or did she actually become a numerologist?
No, my mother's a baby whisperer.
Baby whisperer. What does that mean?
It means, so my mother has seven children. My parents together have seven children. And my mother has a gift of understanding babies, newborns, She understands their language. It's a gift that I think she's using her gifts of intuition to understand, and not only understand, express to the mothers what the babies are thinking, feeling.
Wow.
So it manifests differently in this life, but it's the same skill, same skill set. It's hearing a language, hearing what someone's needs and wants are without them being able to express it. People come to me, say someone wants a reading. Never heard of this person, don't know how they come. I just get a message for a session. I just want the date of birth. I don't want them to ask me why they've come to me. I don't want them to say it's financial, it's relationship related. I don't want them to tell me what they think they want to hear. I say to them, you have time to ask questions at the end, but I want to tell you why I think you've come to me, because usually the answer's different. So I always ask the question, why me? Why are they coming to me? What do I have to impart with them? What information? And why now in their life? And they often say, you've covered everything. But actually, I was going to say, you know, should I stay in my job or shouldn't I stay in my job? And I've spoken about everything else that's answered that question, because the job's not the problem. There's usually something else that's the problem. Maybe they don't have the courage. Maybe they don't feel valued. Maybe that's the problem. So maybe all they need to do is have the courage to ask for a pay rise, or maybe that's not quite the right job. Doesn't mean they should quit. They should expand within that role, whatever it is. I look to the numbers first.
Oh, so, and how about your children? Do they have any, does any of them has your talent, have your gift?
Absolutely.
So they
I don't
know
if my son would like me saying this, but I think he's super gifted in, I would say, existing and interpreting this, the unseen, you know, and being, you know, when a person just seems to have it all and be able to make it all. My daughter is probably the greatest manifester of all time.
Wow.
Truthfully, the greatest manifester of all time. She wants something and she creates it for herself, and she's 16. And my son has she's got this energy that's very go-getter, doing, a little bit like your energy, where you just feel you need to keep creating and keep creating, and you're a force of nature. You really are. You're magnetic. You draw things to you, but it's in your movement that you draw things to you. She's very similar, and it's not a coincidence that you share the same profile as her. So that's, you're a good manifester too. So that's my daughter. My son, he's super calm. He has a knowing of, and an understanding that he's had since birth of how the world works, a maturity.
Wow.
He's got this energy that you just want to be next to him. You just want to feel, because no matter what is going on in your world,
he's calm.
So the balance of the two in my household, you couldn't script it better. It's great. Wow. It's a great dynamic.
So if you have three of you doing that, so basically you can control the future.
Absolutely not. No one can. And you know what? When you start to put your ego into it, I'm paranoid I'll lose the gift, and I will lose the gift, because you have to keep being purposeful and driven and look at the greater good, service driven. I always believe that service to others is the rent that we pay for being on this earth. So the moment you start thinking of yourself and how the universe can serve you, rather how you can serve the universe, I think I'll lose my gifts.
Amazing. Amazing. So, so when you see your mother with your two children, what do you talk about? Do you talk about all these powers that you have? Do you all celebrate having these gifts, or you just live?
Okay, so I'm very grounded. Feet on the ground, head in the clouds. Why do you have to talk about what is?
Because, you know, you can help. You can help your children to develop.
Absolutely. So my language and my thinking is what it is. That's just the consciousness. That's the person I am. That's me living my authentic self. But, I mean, you don't have to talk about who and what you are all the time. That's just not...
No, you're not talking about who and you, but you're talking about their gift and how you can help them and how you explain to them.
So, absolutely, because it's who I am. So I live authentically. They see who I am. But for example, I talk about in a way where I'm on a parking space and I'm like, okay, parking angels. And I start to communicate with my parking angels. And often people around me who've driven in the car with me say, oh, Romeo, I've access to your parking angels. They are the best. They work out. But you have your own parking angels. Yeah. You have to have your own conversation. You just open communication that way.
I understand and learn from you. What I see you is you are grateful for everything that you beside you.
Absolutely.
You know? You live with gratitude.
Absolutely. And more than that, I live with optimism. Because yeah, I do believe...
You're very positive. Everything for you is positive.
But the only downside to that, and I have recently, everyone's refining themselves. I've recently started refining myself in, I think, being positive is contagious. It is contagious.
It is.
Because when you're in a room with positive people, yeah, you automatically start to think.
You're lighter, you're happier.
Absolutely. And it's a strength.
Yeah.
But there is another way that positivity can be expressed, and it can be expressed in hopefulness. It can be channeled to hope. Because if you're with someone who suffers depression or who really is going through terrible situation, very bad real life situation, where the outcome is not going to be good. So, for example, they've been diagnosed with something terminal. So they don't want to, in this moment, be overly optimistic. They want to just sit with how they're feeling then and then be hopeful. That breeds more positivity. So you've got to vibrate. So if I'm too positive and someone's too negative, it's too far apart. So you've got to come a little bit closer. So I do sometimes temper my positivity. This has come with maturity. It doesn't mean you're not happy. It doesn't mean you're not positive. It's how you express your positivity that I've been refining.
And I knew that you have been working with a lot of lawyers and, you know, dealing with court cases and all that. I never, honestly, except there are some Hong Kong Chinese astrologers who does that. You are the only one in the West who's actually can work with lawyers and all that. And to get that trust from the lawyers, pretty amazing. I mean, because they are supposedly very, you know, very rational. So to trust someone who's not talking about law, and you actually can explain all the procedures to them, is pretty impressive.
I do have a very huge, I have quite a good understanding of law and the legal world and how it operates. I think that's the premise. So I can see when I get information, I can interpret it in exact words, in exact motions, and I can speak the legal language. So that's very helpful because it's not only in reading the numbers, it's in expressing practically what do we do about it. Do we file a motion or not?
But you can get the lawyers to listen to you, which pretty amazing.
Well, so I didn't actively seek going into law, into that realm. It came to me and it just happened to be that I found my niche because we were getting the outcomes we want. And actually, when results are measurable, you either win or you lose.
Yes.
You're going to stick with the team, the winning team. And so when crazy things happen, for example, the judge is not showing up in 2 days, there's a hearing, the judge is not showing up. I don't see in the charts how the judge is showing up. And the lawyers are going, well, that's never happened before. How can that happen? And I'm like, well, it has to happen. I mean, it's got to be possible. We have to work out a strategy that it's not happening. A judge could be unwell. Mm. A judge could. It's got to be part of our strategy. We can't just dismiss it because it's never happened before. They listen. They listen because they know that whether the judge has an accident or whether the judge, someone's unwell or can't turn up, something can happen. So you've got to entertain it. So numbers give you a hint of what strategy to employ or at least to prepare for the things that are not really logical or that the lawyers wouldn't think about. And I think the lawyers appreciate that. They like to have that information.
I love it. I love it. You're helping a lot of individuals to deal with their problems, but you like to stay low profile. That's what I feel. I feel that. So what is your next move? Are you going to come out with a book? What
Absolutely.
Are you going to do? Yeah.
Okay, so funny you say that.
Yes.
I'm in a cycle. You asked me about my personal cycle. Do I do my own numbers? I'm in what is supposed to be a very difficult cycle. You really have to navigate your way through a lot of difficult situations that are beyond your control, always coming from the outside in the cycle. So on my birthday, I thought the gift I can give myself is the gift of understanding the positivity, all the positivity that comes out of this number two, and fertilizing it and then teaching it on to others. So I'm in the cycle. I'm absolutely loving it. In fact, I think it might become my favorite cycle.
Oh, wow.
We only go through year cycles once every 9 years. I almost wish this was continuing next year and the year after. That's how much I love it. And I now want to write a book about how to work with the two, the number two. That's definitely something I'm going to have to document at some point.
I love it.
Yeah. And also how to work with Mercury retrograde, because that's something which has the vibration of a two. It's the astrological equivalent of a two.
What does number two cycle mean first?
Okay, so number two cycle is working with the other. So it follows the number one, where number one, I encourage you to think about yourself and direct yourself
and
your future.
Me, myself, and I.
Absolutely. Okay. That's the number one. You know, the way a number looks and the way a number is reveals all you need to know about that number. So the one is all about you. But then following, once you've grounded yourself in yourself, sown your seeds for yourself, what happens to the seeds that are sown? You have to wait until they blossom. You have to water them. So it's giving and giving without seeing growth. It's giving without receiving, really. It's working with the other. It's all about the other. And it comes with lessons in relationships, how you work with the other. But actually, it's the best of relationships because it strengthens, it's real. Basically, the two is taking off all your clothes, bearing your soul and leaving you naked so you feel sensitively. You feel things. You get hurt easier, but you feel deeper. So that's what the two is all about. And it's also about patience and faith. And patience means things aren't happening fast enough.
Yeah.
So learning patience is, the lessons are hard because it's slow down. It's the equivalent of me giving you traffic and saying, I always have a theory. There's the long, short way and the short, long way. I always tell you about that. And everyone's like, no, this is a logical way, especially with the law. We do this, they do this, they get 10 days and then we have to respond. And that's how it follows. And I'm like, there's going to be blockages that way. Let's give them the extensions they want. That's the long, short way. If you give and you give, for example, you go around the long way, you get to the result you want shorter, quicker.
Wow.
So that's the two cycle. Understanding that you have to be patient and have faith.
Patients are very difficult when you are in a problem, right? Don't you have clients calling you, I'm in a problem, Romy, help.
Most problems are a crisis for that person. So I hear the problem in one ear. And then while they're calling me, I'm doing charts to give me the truth. Is it a real problem? Is it a red alert? Or is it a perceived problem? Is there a solution to the problem? Or do we have to now do acceptance? You know, practice acceptance and grieve a loss or whatever it is. So the numbers give me comfort.
This is so funny. Can you? I mean, you have three children.
Two
children. And you have all these, you know, you can even tell what they're doing. Don't you think that you're like a witch? Right?
A white witch.
A white witch, exactly. And then all your kids are happy about what's going on. It's just incredible. All your clients depend on you. You're never free.
Well, I don't like to say depend. Use me as a resource, great. but don't depend, because I'd like to empower people rather than them depending on me.
Yeah, you do empower people by telling them what they should do and
actually, I hear clients who haven't been able to get hold of me. So say I'm working all day. They're like, I had your voice in my ear. I couldn't get hold of you. So I was like, what would Romy say? And I have a Romyism language. So they're like, I can hear your words. You would say, do this. I didn't want to, but I did it. And that to me is more empowering than...
Let's talk about religion. Okay.
Religion.
Because we did touch on on religion the other day when we were on and on the call. And I question, because you're Jewish, right?
Right.
And all these numerologies and all this, doesn't it contradict to a religion?
Oh no, it enhances the religion. In Judaism, in fact in all religions, there's a number system called gematria in Judaism, and it marries exactly with numerology. It's ancient wisdom. We're just using ancient wisdom, and so it's very much a part of Judaism to use numbers for the betterment. But the difference between religion and spirituality,
yes,
there is a difference. My religion, well, I'm a numbers and words person.
Yeah.
So is oneness. That's what I believe in. Being at one, unified. That's being at one with other people, being at one with yourself, and being at one with a godly being.
Right.
So to me, to be in harmony with that is to be religious or spiritual. I also have religious practices, meaning I have rituals. Every morning I open my eyes and I express gratitude. Now, you don't have to be a Jew to do that, even though it's a Jewish practice. You can be any religion to open your eyes. And instead of going, oh, what does this day hold for me? I'm like, another day. I mean, think of the faith, going to sleep, knowing you're going to wake up. That in itself, you have to have a lot of faith that you're going to be woken up in the morning. So I have rituals, washing hands, cleanliness. I like to rid myself of energy and cleanse my being. And while I do that, I'm cleansing words, watching words. There's a belief system in Judaism not to speak badly upon others.
Oh, yes.
And I hold that true to myself. Anyway, I don't think you should.
I don't think we should.
Speak badly
I think this
of
is
others.
Basic ethics as well.
So I'm very spiritual, and I'm glad to have the base and a foundation that and a value system that is for good and for greater good. And that is what I teach my kids. And in fact, it's what I practice myself. It's who I am. But I do believe that all religions, there's a oneness in all religions, do come back to the universe wants everyone to get on, united, to embrace all our difference. It's the same as a family. You embrace your individuality. So we have to keep harnessing our individuality, and that's what
Absolutely.
Numbers does. Numbers shows you who you are. Even if you are lost and don't know who you are, come back to me, come back to Source, come back to a friend, come back to someone who can show you, mirror back at you who you are and remind you who you are.
So numbers, it's like your guardian.
Absolutely. It's a guide. It's a guide to how to live this world, in this world, and how to live a happy life. Joy does not come naturally to people. You don't just wake up happy. You wake up with goo in your eye. You don't wake up with a sense of alacrity. But that's why you have to practice gratitude.
So positivity, gratitude is your motto.
It's your who I am.
Who are you?
And it's how I live my life. And it's... I think who you are translates into your thinking, translates into your words, translates into behavior, and then translates into your reality. And that's how we co-create our realities.
Thank you, Romy. This is such a great conversation.
Thanks, Pearl.
Thank you.
To
I think I love it. I love it.